Welcome. Today I will be interviewing Mr. Thomas Popick. He is the founder and chairman of the Foundation for Resilient Societies. This is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the protection of North American critical infrastructure from natural and man-made disasters. As the principal investigator, he specializes in vulnerability assessment, comparative risk analysis, and economic modeling. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mr. Popick. I would like to begin by asking you a few questions pertaining to the work that you do. As the founder and chairman of the Foundation for Resilient Societies, please discuss the significance and some of the work that your foundation currently does.
Certainly. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to be interviewed and to speak to your group on this podcast. Foundation for Resilient Societies advocates critical infrastructure protection for North America, and that includes both the United States and Canada. What is critical infrastructure? Well, it's all the things that we need to sustain everyday life. And so that would start with the electric grid, telecommunication systems, of water and sewer, transportation networks. If you think about it, we almost take for granted that all the food, the water, the utilities that come, but all those could be interrupted by a man-made or a natural disaster.
Now, some vulnerabilities include solar storms, electromagnetic pulse attacks, and physical attacks as well. I noticed that high-voltage transformers are the backbone of electric grids. Please discuss the impact that an attack would have on the electrical grid. Specifically, how would infrastructure and society be impacted?
Sure. Well, let me unpack some of those questions. I'll start with how the electric grid is configured, and then I'll talk about some of the impacts. So in terms of the electric grid configuration, in North America, it's very common for electricity to be generated and transmitted very long distances. And for that long distance transmission to take place, the voltage has to be stepped up using transformers that can be quite large, oftentimes the size of a small house. And then at the end of the transmission line, the electricity would have to be stepped down in voltage. The average life of these extra high voltage transformers is about 40 years. They weigh many, many thousands of tons, and they're very difficult to transport and replace. Almost all of them are made outside North America, and the order lead time is 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
So if there is some kind of an event, a natural disaster such as a solar storm, which can induce currents in transmission lines that will burn out these transformers, or a physical attack on the transformers, or even a cyber attack, these transformers would be very difficult to replace because it takes a long time to order the transformers and then actually transport them and install them in the grid. I should also say that there's very, very few spares available because most of these transformers are made to custom specifications. In terms of the impact on society, here in the United States, one of the government agencies did a study and determined that loss of only 9 critical transformer substations could bring down the U.S. parts of the electric grid for over a year. If you really think about the impact on societies, it would be tremendous because we would lack electricity and then all of the other services that are enabled by electricity. And we can start with telecommunications, which are very important, but also the food distribution system as well as the water and sanitation system.
What actions should be taken in order to prepare for a potential attack? At the same time, what actions should be taken in order to prevent a potential attack from happening?
Those are the key questions because it's very difficult to recover from long-term outages. So it's important to prevent the outage or the initiating event for the outage right at the outset. For solar storms, the impact of solar storms could be mitigated for approximately $1 billion for the North American grid. And it would just involve installing surge arrestors. Very sophisticated surge arrestors are blocking devices to prevent the induced currents from solar storms from burning out the transformers. Initiating events such as cyber attack, there's some common sense things that can be done. For example, communications between control rooms and substations could be encrypted, or there could be dedicated fiber optic lines that are run to prevent cyber attack instead of using leased lines or, in some cases, just using the public internet for communications between control rooms and substations. For physical security, that's challenging because a lot of electric grid facilities, especially substations, are in remote locations and they're unattended. So in those cases, building redundancy into the system, making sure that the electric grid is not overly dependent on single transmission lines or substations, that would be important. Unfortunately, due to environmental impact and opposition of local citizen groups, it's quite common for transmission lines, multiple transmission lines, to be run almost on identical pathways and for substations to be built out with more and more of these extra high voltage transformers in the same location, and that really exacerbates the vulnerabilities to physical attack.
Resilient Societies makes the case to many government policymakers that cost-effective protective measures should be required of government and private industry before infrastructure interruptions cause any catastrophic and possibly non-recoverable harm. What policies do you think should be implemented by the government today in order to protect our society and our infrastructure?
This is a very excellent question, and it goes to the heart of how electric grid reliability and security regulated both for Canada and the United States. The security standards are set by an industry body, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation. These standards apply to both the United States and Canada. In the United States, the industry standards are reviewed and approved by a government agency, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. In Canada, there's separate provincial agencies that would review and approve these regulations. It's very important for the government regulators to closely examine the regulations and standards that are developed by this industry body, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, or NERC as it's commonly called, because oftentimes these standards are very weak and they really minimize compliance costs instead of appropriately protecting the societies and the public.
I noticed that in November of 2014, Admiral Michael Rogers, the director of the National Security Agency, disclosed that foreign nations could take down the electric grid with cyber attack. In 2005, the U.S. Congress passed legislation requiring that communications networks for the grid be protected against cyber attacks. Five sets of NERC cybersecurity standards have been approved by FERC without implementing this law. Can you discuss the impact of this?
Well, the impact is very severe. A law was passed by the U.S. Congress mandating cyber incident protection of communication networks for what is called the bulk power system, and that's the high voltage part of the North American electric grid. And this law has been ignored by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, as you refer to it. Had the law been implemented shortly after it was passed by Congress, by the U.S. Congress, and had it been implemented in appropriate standards, we probably would not have this tremendous cyber vulnerability that we have now. Just to give you an indication of how slow the regulatory process has moved, At this point, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has asked NERC to simply define the definition of a communication network. So we're not even to the point of actually, we're so far from installing protection. We're not even agreeing on a standard. We're arguing about the definition of what a communication network is. And so when laws aren't implemented for a whole decade, that's what produces these tremendous vulnerabilities and the ability of foreign nations to attack the North American grid.